It has been a rough couple of years for the publishing industry, but things would have been far worse were it not for romance fiction. Sales in that genre have held pretty steady, more than $1 billion last year. And one of the brightest spots has been romances aimed at ethnic readers. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has the story.
Welcome to the annual convention of Romance Writers of America. RWA is the trade association devoted to the care and advocacy of romance writers everywhere. And while you might think romances are all about porcelain-skinned women who are clasped by their narrow waist to a rock-hard hero's sun-bronzed chest, not anymore. Proof of that is this year's recipient of RWA's Lifetime Achievement Award. By this year's end, Brenda Jackson will have had 96 of her African-American romance novels published.
I'm set to publish my 100th book in November 2013.
Jackson was the first black romance author to make the New York Times bestseller list. And unlike Danielle Steele, who writes popular romances from a hilltop mansion, Jackson, until she retired, wrote as she juggled her day job and family obligations.
I used to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and write my stories and then go to work. Take my kids to ball practice, whatever, and sit in the car and do my editing then. And still take care of my husband at night. And when he go to sleep, I'm back at my computer.
Jackson says she's loved romantic stories since she was in middle school, except for this.
None of those people look like me, and that's why I wrote my own stories. That's why in the eighth grade, I wanted to write stories that look like me.
Doing that has made Brenda Jackson a consistent bestseller. Black women snap up her books. Sometimes so do their men, because Jackson likes to write steamy romances.
I pretty much go into the bedroom. I don't just close the door and let the readers wonder what goes on, but I do it tastefully.
No 50 Shades here, which, by the way, is romance, kinky division. Like Brenda Jackson, Michelle Mankou is African American, and she's a past president of RWA. Mankou says Terry McMillan's 1996 bestseller, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, brought black romance to the general public's attention. It was an indication of how the market could expand.
It gave mainstream publishers a peek into the appetite of readers. Then the mainstream got interested and presented imprints for it.
Eventually, many of the genre's major publishers signed black writers, but getting published was just the first challenge. Getting a good spot in bookstores was the next. Michelle Mankou says the rise of e-books has reduced that obstacle considerably.
You don't have to wait for the validation or confirmation from marketing teams, because I feel the marketing in the publishing houses try to determine what the reader's appetite will be. And I think they're underestimating the sophistication of romance readers.
The success of the early African-American writers spawned writers of other ethnicities. Latinas, Asians, and Native Americans have all written romances, and many have fans outside their respective ethnic communities. Cami Tang, a bubbly young woman with fuchsia-streaked hair, is autographing her books out on the cavernous signing floor. Tang says her parents were okay when she wanted to ditch a career in biology to write Christian-themed romances.
They're so proud of me that I was able to succeed in a business that's so difficult, especially for people in minorities.
Tang's latest novel is Protection for Hire.
The heroine is the niece of the Japanese mafia boss in San Francisco, and she works for him, but she went to jail for her cousin for a murder she didn't commit, and then she finds Jesus in jail.
Tang's heroine is released eventually, but her uncle wants her to go back to her old job immediately. But she can't. She's been saved. Her happily ever after, or HEA as they say around here, comes with a former adversary, the lawyer who put her away. The romance industry's HEA may come as an increasingly diverse group of writers swells its sales. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.